Radio Prague News.
The Czech state budget for September has shown a record surplus. Czech cancer patients are reportedly among the least likely in Europe to be prescribed the latest medicines. And the Czech Senate is to hold an open hearing this week on controversial amendments to the labor law. The Finance Ministry has revealed that the Czech state budget for September has shown a surplus of a record 25.8 billion crowns, or over $1 billion. It is the best result since 1993 and a year-on-year improvement of some 66 billion crowns. Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said the result can be attributed to more efficient tax collection and measures reducing shadow economy. A new study by the Karolinska Institute of Sweden has found that cancer patients in the Czech Republic are among the least likely in Europe to be treated with the latest medicines. The report, which is due to be presented to the European Parliament this week, also singled out Hungary, Norway, Poland and the United Kingdom in this regard. The Stockholm-based institute said shortages in new cancer drugs are generally caused by tight financial controls in countries like the Czech Republic and by delays in approving medicines. The Senate will convene a public hearing about proposed changes to the labor law on Tuesday. A major point of contention relates to severance pay. Workers' unions want to keep in place a provision requiring an employer to give 3 months' notice and pay 2 months' severance pay. Employers' associations say the requirement is too costly and leads to an inflexible workforce. Several dozen far-right extremists gathered in a Kutná Hora restaurant on Saturday night for a birthday celebration. 88 police were dispatched to the scene after a private citizen in the central Bohemian town called in a complaint. One skinhead wearing a T-shirt promoting a banned neo-Nazi music group was taken into custody. Police have been criticized in recent years for allowing neo-Nazi concerts to take place undisturbed. Recently, two police officials in southern Bohemia were demoted for failing to intervene at a similar gathering of neo-Nazis. The Dutch retailer Ahold has completed the takeover of the food retail chain Julius Meinl in the Czech Republic. 46 of the 56 supermarkets have been reopened under the name of Albert, another 9 will follow in the coming days. According to Ahold, all 1,500 former employees of Julius Meinl will be employed by Ahold on the same financial terms. Ahold has so far run almost 200 supermarkets under the name of Albert and Hypernova in the Czech Republic. And finally, a glance at the weather. Light rain and daytime temperatures in the mid-teens remains the forecast for the coming days. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, David Vaughan. In today's programme, the Iraqi president visits the Czech Republic. What does the visit mean for the two countries? Painting the Czech Republic red, the communists have a new leader, but are the changes just cosmetic? And euthanasia, the arguments for and against from a Czech perspective. Stay tuned. The Iraqi president, Jalal Talabani, has begun a tour of Europe, and his first port of call is the Czech Republic. This country is a close ally of Iraq's post-war regime, and there are also long trade ties between the two countries, going back to the days of communism. Also, Czech troops are currently in southern Iraq, helping to train the country's police force, and there are various other projects in Iraq involving the Czech Republic, varying from renewing the country's cultural heritage to rebuilding refineries. Mr. Talabani has said he wants to deepen cooperation further, especially in rebuilding Iraq's devastated infrastructure, and this will be the focus of his talks with top Czech officials during his 3 days in Prague. Rob Cameron is following the Iraqi president during his visit, and he joined me on the phone earlier as Mr. Talabani arrived at Prague Castle. I began by asking Rob if it was a coincidence that he'd chosen to begin his tour here in the Czech Republic.
Well, indeed, that's a question many people are asking, because the Iraq does have many firmer allies, more firm allies than the Czech Republic, Poland and Slovakia, for instance. So many people aren't quite sure why he has chosen to begin his visit in Prague, but begin it he has. He will arrive at Prague Castle this afternoon, where he will meet the Czech President, Václav Klaus, And later in the evening, there will be a state dinner held in his honor before talks later in the week with senior Czech officials, as you said there, which will focus on the reconstruction of Iraq.
You're at the castle now, just before the talks. How high profile is this visit?
Well, it seems to be pretty high profile from what I can see now. I'm actually in the second courtyard of Prague Castle, and the Iraqi president is just about to arrive. They've just played the Iraqi national anthem and indeed the Czech national anthem, and the guard of honour is now accompanying the president inside the castle. The central area of the castle has been completely cut off. There are lots and lots of policemen around, so this visit is certainly a very, very high-profile one with all the security measures that you would expect for such a visit.
And so what do you think are the main concrete things that will be up for discussion?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the Czech army is involved in training Iraqi police recruits at the moment, and the Iraqi government is interested in the Czechs extending that cooperation, that training, to the Iraqi military, the Iraqi armed forces. So that's obviously a very, very high priority for the security of the country. But also, as you mentioned earlier, it's reconstruction and especially rebuilding the country's infrastructure, such as oil refineries and roads and factories, etc., which Czech firms are expected to take part in. And Mr. Talabani is accompanied by a large delegation of Iraqi ministers who will be holding talks with Czech businessmen to that end.
And it's quite interesting, isn't it, the historical link between the two countries from the days of communism. There obviously are trade links that can be built on. I gather as well that this isn't Mr. Talabani's first visit to the Czech Republic, is it?
It's not. He visited Prague in his capacity as head of the Democratic Party of Kurdistan. That was in 2004, but this is his first visit as president. Sorry, we can just hear the guard of honour there escorting Mr. Talabani into the castle. So this is his first visit as president of Iraq. So obviously a very, very important day, not only for Iraqis, but for the Czech Republic as well.
Hey, Rob Cameron with the band of the Prague Castle there in the background. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, David.
Over the past 12 years, few politicians have attracted more controversy than the Communist Party's Miroslav Grebeniček. Every 1st of May, as party leader, it was his rhetoric that whipped up angry crowds of mainly older communist sympathisers on Prague's Letná Plain. No more. At the weekend, 9 months ahead of parliamentary elections, Mr. Grebeniček stepped down, apparently in order to help his party attract new support. The new man at the top is 50-year-old Vojtěch Filip, long styled as Grebeniček's successor. But is there really any major difference? Not much, as Jan Wellinger reports.
Vojtěch Filip and Miroslav Grebeniček, two well-known faces of the Communist Party, one tough, the other tougher. For many observers, the two men are cut from the same cloth. Where Mr. Filip does enjoy an advantage is in his somewhat milder features and a somewhat milder reputation, a difference in degree that could make him an asset for the communists in elections next year. Jaromír Kohlíček is a communist Euro-MP.
Well, I think it was a logical development because all the parties were preparing themselves for elections, which will take place next year. That means all the parties, including Communist Party, are a little bit moving, and that's why they have to establish who will be the leader for elections, and whether public is accepting this or that leader better or worse. According to the wish of delegates, it is Vojtěch Filip.
While Jaroslav Kohlíček didn't mention him by name, he did indicate Mr. Grebeniček had become something of a burden.
During the last 2 or 3 years, somehow spoiled a little bit the picture of the party, which would like to accept new realities and which would like to shift the interest of this society toward social affairs.
But critics charge that any change at the top is only cosmetic at best for a party that until now has never fully distanced itself from the Communist Party of the old regime. The communists are unapologetic, with Mr. Filip himself saying there would be no shift in the party's stance, anti-NATO, tough on the EU. In many ways, for now, he's behaving like Mr. Grabenicek himself. Political analyst Rudolf Kuchera thinks as long as the communists enjoy relatively high support as the third strongest party in parliament, there will never be real incentive for change.
Today they're in a position where they could influence a future government. There is no reason for them now to make an apology. Consider that till now they haven't confronted their own past, and that strategy has worked. Their popularity has risen.
And the choice of Filip is tactically clever. According to Rudolf Kuchera, the new chairman could open more doors that, for Mr. Grabenicek, remained closed, namely closer cooperation with the ruling Social Democrats. Should the Social Democrats gain re-election next June, a friendlier communist party could be a benefit to both.
Mr. Filip is far more communicative than Mr. Grabenicek, who is very Stalinist, and he's more experienced at the negotiating table. While he shares many of the views of his predecessor, he's used to communicating between parties in parliament, all of which could make him more approachable.
Currently, the communists are riding at around 13% in some public opinion polls, a marked drop since earlier in the year when some showed them at 25%, well ahead of the ruling Social Democrats. It could be they've already peaked while the Social Democrats have recovered with the help of their new face, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek. By changing their own leader, the communists are hoping to do the same.
Thanks very much, Jan Wellinger. And now, this being the beginning of the week, we go over, as usual, to Ian Willoughby with the sport. And this week we have good and bad news from the world of tennis and nervousness as two critical World Cup qualifiers draw near.
We begin today with news of success in tennis for the Czech Republic, with Nicole Vajdičová winning the Korea Open in Seoul on Sunday. The Czech women's number one beat Jelena Jankovic of Serbia and Montenegro 7-5, 6-3 to claim the third WTA title of her short career. Vajdičová took advantage of mistakes by her opponent and notched up a number of aces in the second set. She had this to say after her title win.
We both began nervously, definitely. At the start, both of us made a lot of mistakes, double faults and unforced errors. But I think I outplayed her at the decisive moments in the match. There were a few key moments in which I came out on top.
Nicole Vajdičová, who's just 16 years old, but has already reached 21 in the women's rankings. Many believe she's on her way to becoming a star of world tennis. Meanwhile, the Czech men's number one, Radek Štěpánek, wasn't so fortunate at the weekend. He reached the final of the Vietnam Open, only to lose 3-6, 6-7 to Sweden's Jonas Björkman. Štěpánek has never won an ATP tournament. In fact, he's the only player in the men's top 40 not to have at least one title to his name. Moving on now to football, and the Czech national team are under a lot of pressure ahead of two crucial World Cup qualifiers, against the Netherlands in Prague on Saturday and away to Finland next week. Jan Koller is out injured, and the other Czech giant forward, Vratislav Lokvanc, is also out of action. On top of that, several other key players are also looking doubtful, including captain Tomáš Galásek, Milan Baroš and Vladimír Šmicer. The Czechs need to take as many points as possible from their last two qualifiers if they're to secure a second spot in Group 1 and a place in the playoffs, though it's still possible they could qualify automatically if they finish as one of the best second-place teams from all groups. In the Czech league, Slovan Liberec have finally dropped some points. They lost 1-0 to Jablonec in their local derby on Saturday. Liberec continue to head the table, although Teplice are on equal points, after beating Sparta Prague 2-1 away on Sunday. Sparta's hapless manager, Yaroslav Hrebík, looks likely to either quit or be sacked this week after a series of poor results, including a defeat to Swiss Minnows Thun in the Champions League last week. And finally, kayaking, and Czech great Štěpánka Hilgertová finished fourth at the World Slalom Championships in Penrith, Australia at the weekend. The two-time Olympic champion is now 37, but said after the race she had no intention of retiring any time soon. That's all the sport for today.
And it was brought to us as usual by Ian Willoughby. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, should we have the right to die on our own terms? This is an issue that has caused fierce debate in many countries around the world, but much less so here in the Czech Republic. In Talking Point now, Jarka Halková looks at the issues surrounding euthanasia from a Czech perspective.
Euthanasia, in the original Greek, the word means helping suffering, both medical and in the mind. The word now applies to the highly controversial issue of enhancing death on the request of a patient. Illegal in the Czech Republic, euthanasia became a topic of discussion and a political issue some 10 years ago. Ever since then, it has faded into the background, overshadowed by other events seen as more urgent. Talking to a few citizens of Prague about their opinion on euthanasia, I had the impression that many Czechs remain undecided.
If I think about my dog, I would let him die if he was very sick. I'm not able to say the same about people, I'm not sure.
I just can't imagine a situation when I would want to give up a chance to get better one day.
I think yes, I would go for it. If it was an untreatable illness, I would do it. We have a blind and mentally disabled relative, and it is very difficult and tiring for the whole family.
I'm not sure I'd have the courage. Are you not scared of death? I think that everyone tries to postpone it as much as it goes. If I had a seriously ill child, I would just hope for a miracle and watch him suffering.
Supporters and opponents of euthanasia among professionals agree in one point. They both want to help dying patients. While supporters would prefer to do so by putting suffering and pain to an immediate end, opponents opt for palliative care, not trying to keep the patient alive artificially, but try to alleviate their suffering as much as possible. Under this approach, patients are given painkillers and provided professional care at home, in hospital or hospices. Pavel Boček worked at Pediatric Clinic of Oncology at the Motul Faculty Hospital for 13 years and has always been interested in trying to improve the quality of life of his terminally ill patients. He agrees with euthanasia, but only under certain circumstances.
If we are talking about euthanasia, we should talk only about the people or adult patient. I have been seeing patient who has been suffering from the one type of cancer, but his brain was like clean and he should think about his quality of life, and he was suffering from the pain, even he was getting some analgesia, and he was asking very directly to stop that because he was not able to see himself to be in such a mess, and he was not able to see that the cancer will win. He wanted to be a winner, to finish his life, so that's finish also the cancer. So we have to be focusing only on the patients which they want to do that. They have a clear mind. They have a very special request.
What would be your feeling if you were to do it? Would you not still have some doubt?
No. Maybe sounds very aggressive or strange, but not. If I will be the person who will do the last wish of the patient, and he's asking for that many times, that I should have my mind clear. There must be many people involved in this law or in this process. At least two doctors or three doctors which will be agree and sign the agreement or sign that yes, the patient is in big pain, has no more chance to live, etc., etc.
I suppose you have got into discussion with religious people. What were their main arguments?
The main arguments were that the doctors cannot decide this patient will be going to die or this patient not. But my point is that's not decision of the doctor. The doctor is only one person or person who will be providing that.
Says Pavel Boček, once nicknamed Dr. Death because of his views. He makes clear that he would support making euthanasia legal, but not before a proper discussion. Euthanasia, just like the death penalty, is irreversible, and it is necessary to rule out its misuse. People on the streets seem to feel the same.
I'm against, because I'm not sure that someone would not misuse it.
I think I would be for euthanasia, because I personally would use it if it came to me.
I wouldn't be against it, but it is difficult to be sure that a person really wants it. If there was some kind of a document saying so, I would give the person the opportunity to decide for himself.
I'm not sure if I would be for or against. There is the danger that someone might use it in the wrong way. This is a country where that can happen with everything.
Many opponents of euthanasia cite religious reasons. Vojtěch Cinkrle, the Archbishop of Brno, says the main reason for euthanasia is psychological. It is a result of the kind of life we lead today, individualistic, selfish and rejecting family values.
Ten je záporný, protože vím, že lidský život je...
I am against it. Life is a gift. It is something sacred and we can't take it away. Fans of euthanasia say that people have the right to do it. I would look a bit further than that and ask why people request euthanasia. Then you will find out that it is needless. It is common to say that people who request it are in unbearable pain. But that is to be dealt with by doctors, and they should be ashamed when their patients suffer. I think it is mainly because people feel that they are not useful and they are not good for anything. They very often don't want to bother anyone and have a feeling that no one loves them and no one cares. Consequently, they request euthanasia.
The Czech population is aging, doctors are increasingly complaining of a lack of money, and the treatment of an increasing number of elderly and sick people is putting an even greater strain on budgets.
Je to otázka, na kterou je potřebné nově odpovídat, jako v této době, to před 50 lety třeba byla situace jiná.
There is a need to talk about this question. The situation is different than 50 years ago. Thanks to social pressure and the media, euthanasia is often viewed as something good, something that can have many advantages. For example, it can save money from the state budget. On the other hand, we have to be reasonable and not try to keep a person who is dying alive artificially.
Je nutné udržovat jakýkoliv život prostě ad absurdum.
Coming from a family where, as so often, women outlive men, both my grandmothers are now in their mid-80s, I used to look forward to a long life. But as I watched many of the old and helpless patients of Zdeněk Kalvak at the geriatric department of one of Prague's hospitals, I began to doubt whether I would really like to live to such an old age, Zdeněk Kalvak.
I can say that there was no case of seriously think ask for euthanasia. Sometimes people say, I would like to die, but it's something like conversation. The most of dying patients are not prepared to talk about their problems, about their feelings and so on. There is such a psychological approach to negate it. I don't understand it, or I don't like to think about it. Several times I tried to open this discussion with our patients, but it was impossible. The only interest to discuss technical approach, oh, it's horrible, but what to do with it? No, oh, it's horrible, I'm dying.
According to a survey, euthanasia is now considered acceptable by almost 50% of Czechs. Would the number increase if the issue got more attention? Zdeněk Kalvach again.
In case of popularization of euthanasia, some people can say, oh yes, it's not my spontaneous idea, but many people say it's not so bad idea. Maybe I can try it.
And finally, a few more views from the streets of Prague. My question was, do you think that Czechs care about euthanasia?
It
is not absolutely ignored. It is the same with homosexual couples, for example. It is not a common issue, so it is about 50-50, I would say.
You know, Czechs don't care about anything apart from pork chops and social benefits. There are important issues and no one cares. I think that euthanasia is not an issue that should be discussed at this stage.
And it certainly seems to be true that while people talk endlessly about the price of pork chops in the shops, I don't think I have ever overheard a conversation about the rights and wrongs of euthanasia.
Jarka Halková there investigating a debate that still has a very long way to go here in the Czech Republic. From me, David Vaughan, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.